Christian. Now, it is interesting to see that in this narration, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family is talking Ashratu Sa'a. So, I mean, at the first glance, it is referring to the signs before the Day of Judgment. And inshallah, I will come to explaining the narration.
Great.
So the Holy Prophet asked the people, do you want me to tell you about Ashratu Sa'a, which means the signs before the Day of Judgment? The closest one to the Prophet on that gathering was Salman, and he said yes. Now, the Holy Prophet said, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِضَاعَةَ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتِّبَاعَ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Among the signs of Qiyamah, resurrection, is the fact that people, they spoil the prayer, they follow their desires. They look at wealth greatly, and they sell their religion for the world. Salman said, will it happen, O Messenger of God? The Holy Prophet said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will happen. In this narration, the Holy Prophet refers to some events which, were unprecedented. So no one can, maybe we can claim that no one can reject this narration because the content is somehow predicting about the future. Also, the Holy Prophet continues and says that on that time, some very bad actions are considered by the people as good actions. Some good actions are considered by very bad action. Liar people are confirmed, and the truthful people are rejected. Salman said, "Oh, the Prophet, will it happen?" He said, "Yes." The Holy Prophet continues, "On that time, women will rule over the men, and kids would be consulted, and people will consider paying zakat as a kind of financial harm, and people will treat their family members, their parents badly," and so on and so forth. There is a very lengthy narration. Now, back to the question. So the narration is talking about Ashratu Sa'a. We have other narrations. For example, in one narration, the Holy Prophet said, the Day of Judgment will not happen before 10 signs. Ad-Dajjal, the appearance of Dajjal, Ad-Dukhan, a kind of a smoke, the sunrise from the west, Dabbatul Ard, which is mentioned in the Quran, a creature which has some special features, the appearance of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, three cases of lunar eclipse, and Khasf bi Jazirat al Arab, a kind of swallowing of people in the Arab peninsula, and a fire, a great fire from Aden, and according to some other narrations, the descending of Jesus alayhi salam from heaven. Now, these are the signs that are mentioned in the narrations as the signs before the Day of Judgment. Now we want to analyze these narrations. Mm-hmm. In these narrations, some of them, they are referring to some bad actions done by the people. So can we consider them to happen after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? The answer is negative. I go back to those three stages that I mentioned before. So we know that after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he will fill the earth with justice. This has been mentioned in many narrations. He is the savior of mankind. So when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is ruling over the people, we cannot have these bad features mentioned in these narrations, like, for example, people committing all kinds of sins and considering obligatory acts lightly and disrespecting their parents, for example. This is not the case. At the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, there is no considerable injustice in the world. When he passes away or he is martyred, according to different narrations, we have other Imams of the Ahlul Bayt who will rule over the earth. The same is true about that time as well. Now, So these narrations cannot refer to the time after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. When the last divine proof or hujjah passes away, then we will have the first nafkh sur, the first blow in the trumpet. How long it is? According to some narrations, it is only 40 days, according to some narrations. But it's not a long time, because the earth cannot be without any divine proof. So, the point is that between the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the first blow in the trumpet, we cannot have these bad features mentioned in these narrations, because the whole earth is ruled by an infallible Imam. So we come to this conclusion that these features mentioned in these narrations, like increase in committing sins and new illnesses, although they are introduced as signs of Akhir Zaman, or in some narrations as signs for the resurrection, they refer to the time before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And because of the fact that the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam compared to the time before that is closer to the Day of Judgment, they have been also called as the signs for the Day of Judgment. Now, what are the signs for the Day of Judgment? They are mentioned in different...
So, based on what you said, Sheikh, these features of, let's say, dark treatment of humanity in this era actually is a good sign for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, yes, rather than the Day of Judgment or Qiyamah.
And they are called the signs of the Day of Judgment because at the end of the day, the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is closer to the Day of Judgment compared to the time before that, like the time at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. So we need to pass these signs to get to the Day of Judgment as well. That is why they have been also called as a sign for the Day of Judgment.
But very good. So,
What are the signs for the beginning of the Day of Judgment? It's been mentioned in chapters in the 30th part of the Quran, like chapter Takbir, for example, إِذَا الشَّمْسَ كُوْبَرَتْ وَإِذَا النَّجُمُ انْكَدَرَتْ. We have the fact that the mountains will move and the seas will flow. We have great earthquakes. The sun and moon will be darkened, and also the stars. These are some of the signs for especially the beginning of resurrection. But the other features, we can conclude that they are referring to the time before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi.
So we can be hopeful that inshallah the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is close, and if these features are going to be a good sign of it, but it does not mean necessarily to help the to help or aggravate this situation, but we have to actually pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring to hasten his reappearance, inshallah. Thank you very much, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن. لعلي وحسين وحسن. لعلي وحسين وحسن. حب آل البيت فرض عندنا. حب آل البيت فرض عندنا. وبهذا الحب لنا شميحا.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
Yeah.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 11th, 2021. I'm Ottaver Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us in IRIB English Radio, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. Actually, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Thomas Biliauskas from Lithuania. Thomas Biliauskas is one of our regular listeners. Thank you, Thomas. Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. Mizanur Rahman is also one of our regular listeners. Thanks a lot. And Paul Makuza from Uganda. Paul Makuza from Uganda is also one of our regular listeners. Thanks a lot. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thomas, Mizanur Rahman, and Paul Makuza. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters. Here, we have an email from Austria. This email is from Harald Seuss. We have an email from Jacques Augustin from France. From India, we have an email from Shivandupol, one of our regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Mubashar Hossein Asher from India. Dear listeners, please stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages after the music. You're listening to the Listeners Special, the Sunday program, and here we have an email from Harald Seuss from Austria. Harald Seuss is one of our regular listeners who says, "Greetings to IRIB English Radio. I'm a listener of international stations all over the world since 1974 when I was 17 years old. A school friend familiarized me with this hobby. I have heard a lot of stations in my life. You can say stations from all around the world. I'm so much interested to learn about other cultures, and I try to understand other languages. I'm Austrian-born, and I live here. I'm married to my Filipino wife, and we have a 20-year-old daughter. I like to travel and see other countries. My dream is to see the island of Socotra in Yemen, which is not so far from Iran and has a special nature and geology. I also collect stamps from all over the world, which is my second hobby. I have also some stamps from Iran in my collection. I'm still working at the Austrian telecom sector, and I will be retired in a few months, hoping to have more time to travel. I sometimes listen to the English programs of IRIB, sometimes also the German or French programs, which I can follow because I speak these languages too. I have also listened to the regional programs, and I have to say that IRIB has a lot to offer in a big country like Iran. I also have another dream, which is to go by car from Istanbul to Shanghai, and also pay a visit to Iran on my way. I know that Iran has a lot of ancient and cultural sites to visit with their rich civilization. I don't know how much you're familiar with my country, Austria. We also have an old history. We are a German-speaking country, but a lot of people here speak also English as second language. I send you warmest greetings from here in Strahov, 30 kilometers east of the capital, Vienna. Stay healthy and continue to broadcast your amazing programs. Salam and greetings to you, Harald Seuss from Austria, one of our regular listeners, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. So if you're interested in learning about different cultures, you have chosen the best means, I mean, radio. And of course, IRIB English Radio, where you can learn about the Iranian culture. As you said, you're interested in learning different cultures, especially the Iranian culture. And normally in the time of the pandemic, of course, radio and television are the best means to know about different countries and different regions around the world. When it's not possible to have tours around the world because of the hygienic protocols. Anyway, Harald Seuss from Austria, many thanks for writing to us. Stay safe and healthy. And if you're interested in IRIB English radio programs, tell us your views about our broadcast. Yes, so write to us soon and tell us what you think about our programs. We wish you all the best. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Harald Seuss from Austria. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Shivendra Paul from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Shivendra says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from India. I am Shivendra Paul and I am from Murshidabad, West Bengal, India. I am a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Now your reception is moderate. Signal strength is good, but slight noise and overall reception is moderate. IRIB English Radio is a window of Iran. I love your programs, news, and current affairs program. I'm interested about culture, lifestyle of Iranian people, historical places, tourist attractions, and destinations of Iran. Your program quality is very nice. Your website is colorful and documented. My hobby is radio listening and collecting stamps, coin, QSL card, program schedule, stickers, badge, calendar, and other items from international radio stations. Now, postal service is normal in India. Please send QSL cards and other souvenir items of Iran. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you, Shivendra Paul from India, one of our regular listeners, and warmest thanks to you for writing to IRIB English Radio. Also, we are thankful to you for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. As you said, you're satisfied with the programs as well as our website. Shivendra Paul from India, I will inform my colleagues about sending you and other listeners of IRIB English Radio the souvenirs and also the QSL cards, as they have just prepared these items to send our dear listeners around the world. Shivanupul from India, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Here we have an email from Jacques Augustin from France. Jacques Augustin is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, I have been very happy to receive your greeting message lately, and thank you for it. In return, I wish all IRIB English Radio staff a year full of serenity, prosperity, and success in your plans with a good health in the new Iranian year. I hope my reception report will be helpful to you. And if confirmed to be correct, can you send me a QSL card as a verification? Best regards from France." Salam and greetings to Jacques Augustin from France, one of our regular listeners. IRIB English Radio also wish you the best. Jacques Augustin from France, my colleagues, as I said, the dear listeners are preparing to send our listeners around the world QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Stay safe and healthy, Jacques Augustin from France. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Well, you just heard a very beautiful piece of Iranian traditional music. We hope you'd like it. And the last but not the least is an email from India. This email is from Mubasher Hussain Asher. Mubasher Hussain says, "Dear friends, me and my club members are very much interested in your programs. These programs give us full information regarding your country, Iran, such as living standard, economic situation, etc. We also would like to thank you for your informative and up-to-date website, which is fantastic. As I said, it is quite up-to-date and interesting to read. It is a great website with a great choice of programs, which enables us to listen to your radio online whenever we want. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Mubasher Hussain Asher from India, one of our regular listeners, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. It seems you are satisfied with our programs and the website. Thanks a lot. Our efforts in IRIB English Radio and whole of my colleagues is providing our dear listeners around the world with the best quality and quite up-to-date and interesting programs always. Yes, all the time. Thanks a lot, Mubasher Hussain Asher from India. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And dear listeners, here we reach to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Hope you like it.
Hello there. Hello, everybody in Iran. I hope everybody's okay out there. My name is Adam Santa. I'm from Leicester in England. I am a frequent listener of IRIB. I've been tuning in on the shortwave for about a year now and again, whenever I get time. I enjoy the show, I enjoy the content. It's a very interesting show. I enjoy hearing about the listeners from around the world. And I hope that everybody is doing well this summer. I think this content is pretty good. I particularly like the interview segments. It's quite interesting when you get people from from different parts of the world. It's quite interesting to hear their perspective on things, simply because you don't really get that on in any other format, really. Especially, it's one of the things I enjoy about shortwave radio is that you can guarantee that sooner or later you're going to pick up a station that has some kind of different perspective on things. So it's quite interesting to do that. Yeah, I would just like to say around the world, I hope you're doing well. Continue listening to IRRD because they're doing a great job. Keep in contact with them, keep the shortwaves active. I know that the shortwaves aren't exactly as busy as they used to be, so we need to keep that going. And I hope everybody is doing well.
And with the best wishes to our dear listeners around the world, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special This Sunday program. Keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are with another saying of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini has said, in Islam, the question of race is essentially not an issue. Arabs, non-Arabs, and other groups are not discussed at all. Islam has come to train the human beings. It is here to train us. So basically, the question in Islam is not about the race. It's not about being wealthy. It's not about the system. Unfortunately, we have a capitalism system, for example, like we have capitalism, secularism,
We have other types of, we can say, there are like systems in the world. There is a pluralism, and there are many other examples. But Islam, what Islam talks is, Islam says, all of you are equal. It doesn't matter whether you are a man or a woman. You are a child or a grown-up person. You're black or white, or you're Asian, or you have another race. Islam talks about piety. Islam has come with a central program, making or joining or gathering all these societies at one platform, and that is Islamic Ummah. The name of that platform is Islamic Ummah. That's what Imam Khomeini is also referring to. He says Islam has a plan to unite all nations and to make them Muslim Ummah. But on the other hand, there are many people who are benefiting from the division of the Muslims, and these groups are made by ourselves. It's us who made these divisions. It's the human beings who have made these geographical, we can say, borders or differences. There are many Muslim countries next to each other, but still the people who live in those countries, they cannot freely travel within the countries.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
Islam has a training for all in order to become perfect. If this was not the case, then we couldn't see in the history that a black person named Bilal, who was the best companions, one of the best companions of the Prophet, being called as a Muadhin. A Muadhin is a person who calls for the prayer. So when Prophet was alive, until Prophet was alive, he was the one who used to call people for the prayers. He was one of the closest companions of the Prophet, and Prophet used to eat with them. Prophet have freed the slaves from the system that was at that time. Prophet has stopped people burying their daughters alive while they were born. So it is the Prophet of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the Prophet of mercy, and he came with the program from Islam. And that program is to make everyone equal in order to have a good society, a perfect society, and a society in which we have justice. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and live according to those teachings, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every night and every day.
Every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not. You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today.
We've begun discussing monotheism and the divine attributes in the last few episodes. Shiite scholars believe that God is one, in contrast to other religions such as Christianity.
He's completely immaterial being.
We don't believe that in the Trinity, and that there's three dimensions to God: Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. We don't believe that he's a physical body. Also, in contrast to other sects in Islam, within Islam, Shiism doesn't believe that God is a physical body. We believe that he has absolute power, he has absolute knowledge. Also, the verses of the Holy Quran in which physical attributes have been ascribed to God, such as having a hand, and so on and so forth, we don't take these literally. We interpret them in a different way, in contrast to other sects within Islam. This is very important, and we're going to be repeating this throughout all of our episodes. It's necessary to make this clear. So even if you see such expressions as the hand of God, it's important not to take this literally, because God doesn't have human-like characteristics such as a physical body.
Today we're going to be talking about a very important topic and addressing a question which is very significant, and that is the following. We see that in the very basic books of Islamic doctrine and Islamic ideology, in the discussion on God and his attributes and his beautiful names, we see that our scholars have mentioned various divisions for God's attributes. For example, sometimes they divide God's attributes into narrative attributes, rational attributes, or they might divide God's attributes into his attributes of beauty, his attributes of power. In one division, God's attributes are divided into those which are positive and those which are negative. In this division, for example, they might mention the idea that God does not have a partner, he can't be seen, he doesn't have a physical body, he doesn't have attributes which are additional to his essence, and so on and so forth. The question that arises here, and which often comes in the mind, is this: is there any way which we can all of these attributes? Is there any way in which all of these attributes can be subsumed and categorized under a very comprehensive divine attribute and name? The answer to this question is yes, it is. This is true. The way that this can be done is in the following. We know that God Almighty, existence for him is necessary, and existence is not something possible for him like it is for his creatures. Because he is such, it's also necessary, the necessity of existence, we can conclude that all perfection should be necessary for him, all other perfections. In other words, just as existence is necessary for him, knowledge is necessary for him, life is necessary for him, power is necessary for him, any kind of attribute which indicates some sort of perfection is necessary for God. Up to here in this explanation, we've arrived at, from the necessity of existence, we've arrived at the necessity of all of his attributes of perfection, or to put it in other words, God's attributes, his positive attributes. From this, we can conclude, conversely, that all types of imperfection and dependency are negated from him. So, because he is powerful, incapacity should be negated from him. Because he has knowledge, ignorance should be negated from him. Because he has life, death should be negated from him, and so on and so forth. Right? So all of his attributes, regardless of whether they're attributes of perfection, regardless of whether they're positive attributes or negative attributes, all of them stem from one common attribute, and that is the necessity of perfection from him, which in turn stems from the necessity of his existence. So in this way, we see that all of these different attributes and beautiful names of God Almighty branch off and stem from a common attribute. Perhaps it's for this reason that a lot of our scholars, a lot of the theologians, when explaining this, these various attributes and names of God, indicate this fact. First of all, they start out by mentioning the necessity of God's existence, which is something found within the very definition of God, right? So it's not something that should be affirmed as self-evident, and it's something that can be affirmed for him. In here, then, it's the very meaning of God. Then from this, they derive these different attributes, and they abstract these different attributes from him, regardless of whether they're positive or negative. So in this way, if somebody has a proper, we can say this, that somebody has a proper conception of what God is, all of these other attributes and names and qualities of God, he can automatically understand him, automatically understand them without any problem. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were discussing God's negative attributes and how they tie into the necessity of his existence. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Aga, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Iran and China have signed a 25-year strategic partnership, which marks an extraordinary milestone in the relationship between the two nations. So what exactly is in this roadmap? What does it mean for the two nations? What does it mean for the world? And how is this deal being perceived by rivals such as the United States? Let's take a closer look. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique. Officially dubbed the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, Iran and China finally inked the 25-year roadmap in Tehran on March 27, 2021, with the foreign ministers of both countries at the ceremony. Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, alongside China's Wang Yi, heralded China as being a friend for difficult times and underscored the importance of the friendship between the two countries. Now, the origins of this deal go back to 2016, when Iran's President Rouhani and China's President Xi Jinping began talks about increasing partnership between the two ancient civilizations who've enjoyed bilateral ties for 2,000 years. It's worth pointing out that this strategic partnership between China and Iran is not a clear-cut treaty of sorts like some people imagine, but more of a broader roadmap for the next 25 years, which seeks to strengthen cooperation between the two nations and their economies, their energy sectors, military, their international relations, and also in the fields of education, culture, tourism, and much more. It's quite a remarkable step in beefing up ties between the two countries, and both nations stand to benefit greatly from this strategic partnership. China will invest heavily in Iran's infrastructure, specifically in its manufacturing sector, communications, transportation, and in exchange, Iran will provide a steady supply of oil. It's important to note that China is Iran's largest trading partner. China is also the world's largest importer of oil, surpassing the United States in 2017. Although China leads the world in investments in clean energy and renewables, its enormous energy requirements mean that it needs a steady supply of crude, and that's exactly what Iran can provide. What makes this equally advantageous for Iran is the fact that Iran can not only offload the oil that it produces, but also get something directly in exchange for it in the form of direct investments and development of its infrastructure. Remember, Iran is the world's fourth largest producer of oil and has been cut off from the global market due to United States sanctions. Both its banking sector and its energy sector have been placed under embargo, making it difficult to not only sell the oil, but also engage in trade and finance, even if one were able to sell it in the first place. This partnership with China provides an alternate avenue for Iran to secure the development of its infrastructure while also providing China with a way to secure its demand for oil. It's a crucial step forward in rebuffing the alliance between the two powers and also an important milestone in the realm of international relations and Asia's geopolitical standing. Now, while some reports quote a figure of around $400 billion being invested by China in Iran, this appears to stem from a draft that appeared in the New York Times in 2020. That's not to say that it's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, it doesn't seem an unlikely endeavor over the course of 25 years. But just to say that the partnership is more of a roadmap that expands investment, research and development, and mutual cooperation in a large number of fields. And it's not just about a one-time sum or a one-time figure. It's a much bigger deal than that. This partnership will see Iran integrated into China's Belt and Road Initiative, which China officially announced and adopted in 2013 as part of its foreign policy. The Belt and Road Initiative is essentially a revival of the Silk Road. This is the infamous network of trade routes that connected east and west, running all the way from China to Syria to Greece. These trade routes were not just by land, but also maritime. And China's Belt and Road Initiative seeks to bring about a modern adaptation of the ancient Silk Road, with maritime and land bridges going all the way from East Asia to West Asia to Africa to Europe. The United States, 2 months into Joe Biden's presidency, still has not rejoined the Iran nuclear deal, also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. This agreement from 2015, which sought to limit Iran's nuclear program in exchange for unfreezing of assets and sanctions relief, was torn up by Donald Trump, who left the agreement in 2018. Now, the reimposition of sanctions in an attempt to isolate Iran on the international stage has brought on a huge amount of suffering, austerity, and anguish. Foreign investments, trade, commerce, finance, and international developmental projects have been quashed by the United States' efforts to malign Iran. During this time, however, Iran has found the ability to develop its own vaccines, its own defense industry, to innovate and make do with little and learn how to survive. The ingenuity of the Iranian people, combined with the willingness of other maligned countries like Syria, China, Russia, Venezuela, to cooperate with each other, has led to a shift in the balance of power. The United States and its aggression has created new realignments that are now seeing these countries actually grow stronger and create new opportunities which might not have presented themselves otherwise. Not to take away, of course, from the brutality of sanctions, which are considered by many to be akin to siege warfare, but all this is to say that there is definitely a silver lining to be found here. The United States and its European allies, in trying to isolate and divide Iran and others, have actually ended up bringing these countries closer together and reinforcing their alliances. The significance of this strategic partnership between Iran and China is not only economically beneficial, but also a seismic shift in geopolitical terms. Joining me from Bangkok is author and journalist Pepe Escobar, editor-at-large for the Asia Times. Thanks for taking the time, Pepe. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
So, Pepe, you know, China has signed some of these strategic partnerships with other countries in the past as part of its general foreign policy and diplomacy. What makes this one with Iran so special? Why does this one stand out in particular?
Well, this is the solidification via a deal that was quoted as a roadmap, in fact, including by Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif, that it's the Belt and Road Initiative as applied to Southwest Asia. That's why it's so important. It's groundbreaking. I was writing about this only a few hours ago. That is as important in historical terms as the very close relationship between the China and Iran, Persia at the time, civilizations during the Yuan dynasty in the 13th century. They are back as they were at the time, with a very, very close relationship. And this has been the making for quite a while, of course. There was a lot of back and forth, diplomatic meetings, high-level meetings. It is a roadmap. Of course, we don't have details. Because it's very long-term. It's a 25-year-long meeting, a deal, including everything in terms of trade, connectivity, and investment to how much China is going to get in terms of oil and gas from Iran and investing in the Iranian energy system as well. It's very comprehensive, of course, so the details will come up a little by little, of course. I heard there is some resistance inside Iran about it, which is, of course, considering the magnitude of this deal, it's perfectly understandable. But in terms of being a win-win deal, it's absolutely perfect for the Iranian economy in the long run. And in terms of securing a national problem, a problem of national security for China, which is their supply of energy. So obviously, you can imagine how this was received in the Belt Road, of course. What I heard is, the usual link to the maximum pressure campaign to some so-called analysts in the Belt Road that they think that they know anything about Iran, when in fact they don't, saying that now we lost Iran for good. But that's a joke. We cannot take these people seriously, obviously. The most important thing is that there are so many processes that will be driven or influenced by this deal in terms of the whole connectivity of Southwest Asia to Belt and Road, to the International Transportation Corridor, the INSTC, to the Russian vision of Greater Eurasia, that where, you know, it's still too early for us to imagine the repercussions all over Southwest Asia of what is, in fact, a major game-changing strategic partnership.
And, you know, regarding the timing of this deal, we just had these talks in Alaska, and, you know, you wrote in the Asia Times that the timing of this deal is quite historic. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Absolutely. The timing was a thing of beauty, in fact. And I have been following everything that has been happening, even before Alaska, starting with the virtual Quad meeting. So I wrote four columns in sequence. They are completely interlinked. And we didn't know, in fact, that after the end of the 1E Sergei Lavrov meeting in Guilin, which was early in the week, where they were discussing details of the Russia-China strategic partnership, considering what had happened in Alaska. And obviously before that, the Quad. We didn't know that the China-Iran strategic partnership deal would be signed only a few days later, on a Saturday. So obviously, the timing was kept extremely secret by Wang Yi himself, of course, and by the Iranian leadership. So it all came together, because this involves, most of all, and this is something that it's never enough to stress to an international audience, in fact, the only three sovereigns in the planet right now are Russia, China, and Iran. I'm talking about major powers or near major powers. We could include Cuba, which is a sovereign in itself in an extraordinary story. But the breadth and reach of Cuba, you cannot compare to Russia, China, or even Iran in terms of areas of influence. So these are the three major sovereign powers in the world that not by accident are listed as threats to the U.S. in the U.S. national security strategy. And the fact that in only 2 weeks, you have them getting closer and closer via strategic partnerships, in the case of Russia, China, and then in the case of China and Iran, that's what makes it really a game-changing moment in 21st century politics. Anything that happens from now on, it will never, the previous status quo is dead, completely. Now, the declining hegemon, as we know it, will have to deal with this interconnection between Russia, Iran, and China. And that's why the whole thing now is a completely different ballgame.
So, you know, the United States, they've been trying to isolate Iran for decades now on the international stage. How does this deal play into the context of sanctions, of the JCPOA, which the United States still hasn't re-entered?
Well, it is a game changer as well, because now it's clear, including for the other members of the JCPOA, that Russia and China back Iran 110%. And on top of it, there is a strategic partnership involved in terms of China's support. And sooner rather than later, we're going to have a Russian strategic support as well, because In fact, members of the Iranian parliament are already talking about a Russia-Iran strategic partnership deal, which will be sealed eventually, in the short term, in fact. And obviously, within the P5+1 part of the JCPOA, we know since Vienna in 2015, I was there covering it at the time, that Russia and China support the Iranian position. This is even more solidified now. We know that Europeans are dying for this thing to restart, and they know that the only realistic way for JCPOA to be back is if we are back to what was decided in Vienna in 2015. So, and that leaves once again the isolated exceptionals, and we don't know. In fact, they don't. This is according to. I talk about this with my sources in the Beltway virtually every week. They all tell me the same thing. This administration has no idea what to do about the JCPOA. They don't have a policy. They don't have a vision. And of course, they don't have a strategy. Their strategy will be, okay, let's raise the pressure on Iran a little bit. We impose a few extra conditions, and then maybe we'll go back to JCPOA, and maybe we'll alleviate some of the sanctions. Well, this is not diplomacy. This is not foreign policy, as we know. But this is where we're at the moment. So, okay, we heard a few rumbles these past few days that they would be willing to, let's say, let's alleviate some sanctions to the tune of $20 billion in the short to medium term. But this is just a rumor. There's not a proposition on the table yet.
So, I mean, do you expect Iran to be able to bypass, so to speak, U.S. sanctions in a sense, because now they have a way to offload some of their oil output with China and get something in return for that? Is that an accurate assessment?
Well, bypassing U.S. sanctions is an extremely complicated process for the firms who are doing it. If they are Iranian firms, if they are multinational companies, if they are European firms with multinational connections, even if they are Chinese firms, if you use the U.S. dollar, you are in big trouble. If you bypass the U.S. dollar, if you use some sort of trading mechanism bypassing the U.S. dollar, or if you deal in your own currencies, that's a completely different story. If you use barter, if you are paid in anything apart from U.S. dollars, no problem. This is something that has been happening for quite a while, right? So this is the way to go, I would say. In terms of using SWIFT, again, which is the heart of the matter in terms of sanctions being, sanctions are basically gone, which is something that is not going to happen because it involves the U.S. Congress as well. So. I don't see any, feasible scenario ahead where Iran would be back or Iranian firms would be back to using SWIFT for transactions with the West. With China is a completely different story because you can use reals, you can use yuan, you can use barter mechanisms, you name it. And now, within the scope of the new strategic deal, there are so many possibilities, right? Which, of course, have been discussed before the signing of the deal.
Pepe Escobar, thank you so much for your time and your brilliant reporting. It's a pleasure having you on.
All right. Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye. Thank you.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Communique is a program in which Richard Medhurst, the independent journalist and political commentator, gives his views of controversial issues of our time and interviews famous politicians and personalities. This program is broadcast every Sunday by IRIB English Radio.
One area that is clearly set to benefit from this partnership with China is Iran's energy sector. Iran is one of the world's largest producers of oil, and its economy and energy needs also rely heavily on oil exports. One of the main staples of the nuclear deal signed in 2015 was to lift the embargo on its oil sector. Following the lifting of sanctions, according to OPEC, Oil exports from Iran increased by 1 million barrels within a year and doubled within 2 years. When Donald Trump left the deal in 2018, he reimposed sanctions targeting Iran's oil sector specifically, among its banking sector and others. Now, this new partnership with China provides Iran with an alternative way to export its oil and to get something in return too, oil, in exchange for infrastructure building. China is Iran's largest trading partner,